Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
So we got old color to do the new sponsor, but he can't get the showtime right. See how it is. See how it goes. Junkie on the text line, Notre Dame had the best college football weekend. Eight other ranked teams lost, and they solidified their position for the college football playoffs. That was a fun game. Irish topping the Trojans.
Good it was a game. Very fun game.
Yeah, I mean, good. I think USC gave the game away. I thought they played sloppy.
I agree. Maiava's a stud, though.
He's a stud.
He's very impressive.
I wonder what he ends up doing draft-wise. I saw a mock where it had him in, like, the teens recently. It's the first time I saw him in any mock. I have to ask Lance about him.
It feels like if he continues to play like this, there's a good chance he goes to the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with what's around him at the quarterback position.
I wonder how high he can get, I guess, is my question.
I'm not that impressed with anyone besides Mendoza. I mean, I like Dante Moore. But, like, could he be the third quarterback taken?
Yeah. Mendoza's interesting, man. Like, he's so steady. Yeah. He's so good. But big win for Notre Dame. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a massive win. Every game for them this season's a playoff game.
Yeah, that was probably their toughest test, though, to run the table. What is their toughest remaining game?
Boston College?
Yeah.
Navy?
Yeah.
Boston College, like, good.
Yeah, they're really bad.
Like, one win.
So,
I mean, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford, like, their schedule is cakewalk.
This was their last chance to lose. Yeah. Unless they just absolutely, I mean, they've been prone to do that, Northern Illinois last year at the start of the year.
Yep.
But this was by far their biggest hurdle left to climb. So they are trending in the right way. And if they run the table, like, they're going to obviously make the playoffs. And then also they're going to have momentum. Yep. So,
and you got the best running back room in college football.
He's a stud.
That's what separates them. It's not just him. Jadarian Price is a monster. I mean, that kid is, he's probably the best running back on every team.
That return he had was incredible.
Yeah, he just doesn't go down. And every week he touches the ball. But Jeremiah Love, I mean, he set the single game rushing record against USC in the final one.
That's as close as I've watched Notre Dame.
He got the record?
For a single game, yeah.
That's as close as I've watched Notre Dame in a really long time. And my biggest impression was that Love is a freak show.
Yeah.
He is really, really good.
But I don't think Price is that far behind.
Like, yeah, he just doesn't have the cachet yet.
Yeah, him. Mel Kiper's got him as a third-round grade.
And Carr's a true freshman?
Redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman.
Yeah. If he just stops, he's got some Will Levis in him I don't like about him.
That turnover he had where he was running around in the backfield.
Why is Will Levis catching trays? He hasn't played football all season long.
Because
why wouldn't you say, like, Tua or...
Because
somebody who threw a lot of interceptions.
He does
this
Will
week.
Levis things. He does the trying to escape out of the pocket this year, and he throws it, but he doesn't get it past the line of scrimmage. It's a 15-yard penalty. So he's got some Will Levis in his game.
So he does a little dumb stuff.
He's good for one a game. We're just like, dude. Like,
that interception in the red zone he had was brutal.
It was awful. But they have the best running back room in college football. So I think they're well positioned to make the playoff and make a run.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Bowl eligible. 6-1, baby. A little walk-off field goal. Ethan Sanchez. A lot of people think that he's Mario Lopez's son. Mario Lopez was tweeting about that, hey, it's not my son, but he's a good-looking boy. Special teams player of the week. Connor Wigman running all over the Arizona defense. Good win for the Cougs, 6-1. Willie Fritz, man, in his second year. Go look up Willie Fritz's second year.
They're all good, aren't they?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's a good coach, man. He's a really good coach.
I think he's gonna take them to places that they haven't really been.
Things are looking good.
Yeah.
Things are looking good.
He's a really talented coach.
6-1 Cougs, bowl eligible. Look, I was trying to be like, I try to be kind of like, you know, realist and even keeled. At the start of the season, I was like, bowl game, baby. Like, 4 wins, 6 wins, like, linear, upward trend, great. They did it in 7 games. Mm-hmm. 7 games, looking really good. So, Cougs going bowling, baby. Brian's to Texas Longhorns. They win in overtime at Kentucky. That offense
Congrats.
Is putrid.
That was a win that looked like a loss. Do you see how badly they got outgained by Kentucky?
Yes.
It was like 200 yards they got outgained
putrid
by Kentucky.
Putrid offensive performance.
It's all of the above. Bad Art showed up again. He had so many wide open receivers that he just completely airmailed. But you can't take away from the fact that leading up to it, he's getting obliterated because basically everyone but like their left tackle is just a sieve on the offensive line, and he's getting crushed. They put up on the broadcast. He's getting pressured at the seventh highest rate in all of college football right now.
Ain't good. That offensive line. You know who's got a good offensive line?
Cougs.
Fighting Texas Aggies. Cougs did. They had a great offensive line week. I think they had like the highest graded offensive line in the Big 12, according to Pro Football Focus. And we all love Pro Football Focus, including J.J. Watt. Aggies escape Fayetteville. Closer game than we all imagined. Higher scoring game than we all imagined. I didn't think that Wrecking Crew defense would allow that many points. But first 7-0 start for the Aggies since 1994. First 7-0 start since Major League Baseball was on strike. Pretty good for Mike Elko.
They're looking good. I mean, we're seeing Marcel Reed play better and better, I think, each week. And this game is not a reflection of who their defense is, I don't think. So
I don't think so either. Look, yeah. I know that we make fun of Petrino. I think Petrino can coach a little ball. I think Petrino's, especially on the offensive side, I think Petrino we probably underrate a little bit.
I think so, too. It's just because of his off-the-field stuff that no one can take him seriously.
No, you're right.
I think Taylen Green's talented.
He is very talented.
He got held back at times, you know, last year and a little bit this year. But if he's got a great offensive mind like Petrino has been at times, then I think that can unlock another level for Taylen Green.
Arizona State, the other Texas team. We're going to the Texas teams here. Texas Tech loses in Tempe. The defending Big 12 champion rushed the field after escaping Texas Tech.
That's bad.
You think it's a bad look by Arizona State? I mean, it was a top 10 victory.
You were a college football playoff team last year.
Top 10 victory. They finally beat a quality Texas University.
They were 4th and 12 away from being in the Final Four, and you're rushing the field the next year?
Yeah.
It was a big game.
That's a bad rush.
Hopefully they're a little hungover next Saturday when the Cougars come into Tempe, come into town. I feel like Texas Tech got dinged way too much in the AP, by the way. Like, if this were a brand name university. I'm going to start saying brand name because people think I take shots at conferences. I'm not taking shots at conferences. If Texas Tech was a brand name, I don't think they take the dive in the AP, which we all know the AP is very, very stupid, that Texas Tech did. Like, they were right in that ballgame. Arizona State's very good. Their losses have been in other games where they've had injuries. Sam Levitt did not play last week. Mm-hmm. He was back. He's a first-round quarterback. And Texas Tech had to start a true freshman quarterback. They didn't have their starting QB. Like, why do the name brand universities get the excuse and then the non-name brands don't? I felt like the AP disrespected Texas Tech. Hopefully the committee doesn't hopefully the committee really takes into consideration they didn't have their starting quarterback in that game.
Yeah, it should be a factor, but I will say counter. I mean, Miami dropped 7 spots as well. They dropped the same amount of spots as Tech did.
Yeah.
Now, Louisville's not as good as Arizona State is.
I mean, I don't know if that's fair. Louisville's pretty good. Now, Miami's game was in Miami, wasn't it? It was in Coral Gables.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was the difference there, at least for my argument. It's a fair counterpoint, though.
I think Arizona State 24th. Louisville went from unranked to 19th.
Houston, baby. 30th best team in the country, according to the AP. We all love the AP. The AP's fantastic. They know ball. We've always said it. The AP knows what they're doing.
29.
Are you looking at the AP or the coaches' poll?
AP.
They're 29th in the AP?
29.
All right. Top 30 team. Yep. Houston Cougars, baby. Go Cougs. Top 30. AP knows ball.
You're taking his math at his work.
One, two, three, four. Yep.
What are they in the coaches?
30.
Okay, maybe that's where I got confused. Maybe I counted up the coaches and I took it as the AP. That's my bad. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Rosie Caron from the United Sports and Entertainment as we break down the preview college basketball exhibition coming to Fort Bend this weekend. Got a doubleheader coming up on Sunday. That's fantastic. We'll talk to Rossi about that and talk about all that's going on, how you can get there as well. But when we come back, who are the top candidates in Florida? What happens at Penn State if Matt Rhule just continues to lose games? Like, what happens then? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
This Michigan man, probably Jim Harbaugh, because Jim, a Michigan man, the coach of the Chargers, but coached in Michigan prior. Michigan had the best win, especially after getting whooped on by USC the previous week. They beat Wisconsin. They beat the Badgers. What are we talking about here?
And I don't think the Badgers are going to have this coach they currently have for much longer.
Got to build a confidence today.
Yeah, but
they want to spend money back on the team, the roster, the payroll. I think Fickell can coach. Now, he hadn't done a good job. I'm not saying that. I think Fickell can coach. A lot of times we fire the coach because there's other problems. Like, oh, we're going to fire the coach, and then you don't fix the other problems, and then you're firing coaches every 3 years. Like, if you think that it's systematic, if you think it's something to do within the program, maybe you're not spending enough money in NIL, maybe your payroll's not that high to compete in the Big Ten, and then, we're going to fire the coach. Okay, well, if you don't fix the other problems, you're not going to win anyways. So maybe they're taking an honest look in the mirror and being like, okay, we need the infrastructure, and we know we have a good coach in place. Let's now give him the infrastructure and see if we can compete.
Yeah, I just don't know where they go from here. I mean, it's even like you see Brett Bielema having success at Illinois, right? That he didn't have at Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I mean, they were fine when he was with Wisconsin.
They were good. I mean, he got the arc. I mean, he went to the SEC because of the job he was doing there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Wisconsin job is. I think it's a challenging place to win. They've only really ever won in my lifetime when they were in the bad version of the Big Ten.
I don't disagree with you, but then why are we so quick to fire a coach if it's a hard place to win?
I think Luke Fickell will be successful elsewhere. They seem to really care about the whole like Wisconsin person, like being like a Wisconsin guy. Like they want someone to come home for their program.
What's Barry Alvarez up to?
He's still there.
Maybe they just hire Barry Alvarez.
He's the AD.
Yeah. Oh, they played Washington, not Wisconsin. Oh. My bad. Still not the best win of the weekend. They'd be 5-1 Washington. Put us on Bad Take Boulevard. Scrape. No one wants to see Notre Dame make the playoff again after losing to the only two good teams. Yeah, I think that's probably fair. All right, 713-782 ESPN.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
They're going to be there.
Billy Napier got fired after winning a football game.
Yeah, I wasn't keeping an eye on the Florida score this weekend, but when I saw that he got fired, I assumed it meant they lost.
This is SEC football. Like, you get fired after winning football games there, which, I mean, it was, like, kind of an ugly game I read up on, and, like, they apparently had some struggles, and it took, like, the last second thing. Plus, they have a bye, so it's, like, the natural time to do it mm-hmm. is, like, right before a bye. So they probably already made their decision that they were going to fire Napier. They were just waiting for the right time on the schedule to do it. So they finally did it. Napier's gone. But you're starting to look at some of the names. Like, ESPN has the five candidates. Lane Kiffin, Elijah Drinkwitz from Missouri, Rhett Lashley from SMU, Jed Fish from Washington, Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame.
He's not leaving.
Why not?
He's at the best job.
Okay, you're biased. I don't think he leaves either, though. But I also don't think Lane Kiffin leaves. Like, why would Lane Kiffin leave Ole Miss to go to Florida whenever he's already winning at a very high level at Ole Miss?
Yes.
The infrastructure looks good, appears to be good, a top five team in the country. Like, why would you leave that to go to Florida unless they're just giving you way more money and way more in NIL, which I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, because why wouldn't they just do it now? Like, if all of a sudden there's going to be all this money coming, why wouldn't they just do that in this moment for Napier? Unless they all don't believe in him, then why didn't you fire him last year?
Yeah.
If you weren't going to pay for a team now for him.
Yes.
I'm with you. Like, why would Lane Kiffin leave? Why would Marcus Freeman leave? Why would you leave? Kurt Cignetti got his new deal with Indiana. But like, why would you leave when things are going well? Like, the grass is not always greener on the other side.
Yeah, I don't understand why they would leave. I wouldn't. Like, if money's the same in NIL that you're spending on my rosters, payroll, basically, then I'm not leaving Ole Miss.
I get Kalen DeBoer leaving Washington to go to Alabama.
Sure.
That's logical. To me, like, there's no difference between Ole Miss and Florida now. Definitely not Notre Dame and Florida. Like, what's the difference? Like, why would you leave for that job?
Yeah. The Athletic mentions Lane Kiffin. They mentioned Rhett Lashley as well. They mentioned Drinkwitz as well. They mentioned Fish as well. A couple of the other names that they mentioned that ESPN did not, John Sumrall from Tulane, who I think is a heck of a coach. Alex Golish from South Florida, who I think is a heck of a coach, beat Florida earlier this year. Vandy coach. Brent Key, who's doing unbelievable things at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very good coach. And then they also mentioned, like, P.J. Fleck. They mentioned Marcus Freeman, Jeff Braun from Louisville, Fran Brown from Syracuse. Then they mentioned James Franklin, former Penn State coach.
Interesting. And then he gets that big of a job right away?
I've seen people think and opine that Florida's a bigger job than Penn State.
I would say it's a bigger job.
Not knowing salary, not knowing NIL, I would say Florida. I would have Florida higher on my list.
Your recruitment base is going to be better. Mm-hmm. So, like, the guys you have to immediately talk to before you even start talking NIL money is going to be better. You're in the SEC versus the Big Ten. It is the superior conference. I think Florida's the better job.
I do. I would say that, too, without knowing the other stuff.
I just don't know if – I think the fan base would feel about that.
Franklin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It feels like Franklin's a little bit of a hard sell.
It's hard to sell him because he just got fired.
But he's going to be a head coach with the way that this is shaking out in college football this year. If he wants a good job, he's going to get one. And it sounded like he wanted one.
His resume's good.
Yeah.
He has a good resume. I don't think that Franklin would be a bad hire. I kind of like these other guys, though. Like, Golish intrigues me. Summerall intrigues me. Here's the thing, though, with Florida. They hired Napier from Louisiana. From Louisiana Lafayette. Don't call him Lafayette. They dropped the Lafayette. You're only supposed to call him Louisiana now. We used to call him Ulaw back in our day. Don't call him that either. Would they dip back down to the group of five after having Napier from the group of five and failing?
I mean, typically you don't, but how do you know you're going to get one of the top guys? Of the top coaches in college football, how many of them do we think are wanting to leave the jobs that they currently have?
See, I think Rhett Lashley makes a lot of sense there.
Rhett Lashley does make a lot of sense.
I think that'd be a good hire.
I think Jed Fish makes a lot of sense. Eli Drinkwitz.
See, the thing that I don't love about Fish at Florida, I guess I'd have to go look at his full body of work, but he spent a lot of time in the West Coast.
He was, I did not know this, a student and a grad assistant at Florida.
Okay.
Under Steve Spurrier. Didn't play there.
Graduated there too.
But that does feel like one where I would imagine Steve Spurrier still has some pull within that program.
Yeah, and plus Florida, like, they're in their down times. Like, they're going to want to try to, like, relive the glory days. That would add some allure to him for sure.
But Golish, I think, makes a lot of sense if you're going to dip back into the non-Power 4 group.
All of his real coaching jobs, though, have come on the West Coast. Like, UCLA.
Oh, for Fish, yeah.
Arizona head coach, Washington head coach. He had a cup of coffee as the GA. Like, GAs aren't doing a whole lot. That was back in that was before the turn of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'd have to feel very confident that his resources are good there, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting names. This is a good list. I think Jeff Brohm's interesting, not just for the Florida job, but potentially also for the Penn State job, if he wanted it. I mean, he's done a really good job there at Louisville, so it wouldn't shock me if he found his way into a bigger program.
And then speaking of Penn State, like, everybody's like, oh, Matt Rhule. I don't know if I said this last week. I certainly thought it. Matt Rhule is going to have to win enough games for him to be attractive, I think, to Penn State, right?
Yes.
Like, if he finishes the season 6-6, is Penn State going to hire him?
Okay. The reason why I thought firing Franklin was the right decision was based on what he did in big games against top 25 teams, against top 10 teams. Matt Rhule sucks at all of those things. He's terrible in big games. You're hiring another James Franklin. Where, like, he hasn't got his programs at any stop he's been to win big games on a consistent basis. Like, I don't know where they're going to go. But, yes, if Matt Rhule goes 6-6, I don't think that's enough to get this job.
Yeah, I think there's a number of games he has to win.
Just being bowl eligible, like, what does that do? Because he played there?
He's best friends with their AD.
I mean, I guess.
They're thick as thieves.
If that's all that takes, then Penn State, good luck. Because I'm not really a Matt Rhule believer. Everyone gasses him up as this great coach. Like, what has he really done?
I won a lot of games.
A long time ago.
I mean,
Nebraska's in a better place now than they've been in a long time. I'll give him that. But he flamed out in the NFL.
Okay, NFL and college are not the same.
But he hasn't been good since he was at Baylor.
That was his previous job. That was 2019. That wasn't that long ago.
You just said
he's done a good job of rebuilding Nebraska.
But not for the Penn State job.
I mean, like, different set of resources,
like, to get to that level. Like, if it was Baylor to Penn State, I think there's a better argument. Instead, he went to the NFL. But, like, I'm not this big believer in Matt Rhule that he's the guy to turn Penn State into the right program.
Yeah.
Especially when, like, they're still right there.
I think Matt Rhule is a very good coach. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's very good to have leading your program. So, like, I wouldn't have the qualms you have on Matt Rhule.
Yeah, I'm just not there. I'm just not there with him.
I think a lot of what you're looking at, though, is resume-based.
Yeah, but that's why Franklin got fired.
He got fired for, I think, A, not winning big games, B, probably being disliked. Like, if he was liked within that program, I don't think he's fired.
Yeah, I don't think we should ignore the amount of vitriol that we've seen from, like, Todd McShay over the last week.
Something must be there.
Because he hates James Franklin.
Yeah, but there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason why he hates James Franklin that we do not know.
Yeah, but I'm wondering,
I want to know.
is there more of that around to what you're saying around, like, James Franklin's not liked?
I mean, if he was likable, he wouldn't have been fired.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go from – I know that you didn't win the big game, but you don't go from college football semifinal and being the top five team 3 weeks ago to then immediately fired after you have a little three-game skid. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I think that the writing's on the wall there. I think it's very clear that he was not well-liked within that program. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get back to some football a little bit later. Kevin Durant signing a contract. We'll get back to that a little bit. And, then of course, Texans and the Seahawks coming up later tonight as well. But when we come back, let's talk some college basketball. The preview college basketball exhibitions coming to Fort Bend on Sunday, and Rossi Karen's going to join us next to talk about what you need to know as you head out there on Sunday. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This weekend, it's time. We are headed back to ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. We'll be doing shows on Saturday from 12 to 2 and Sunday from 10 to noon inside the sportsbook. To check out their new VIP fan cave section that's available for bookings, their new menu items. We'll be watching all the college games on Saturday, the NFL games on Sunday. Plus, we'll be getting in our NBA and World Series bets as well as soon as we get there. You can also do up to 20 leg parlays, and it's an incredible environment for a UFC fight like you've got coming up this weekend as well. Plus, you can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card. And just a reminder, they also offer you a chance to place wagers on all of the Houston area teams inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome you back in, Jeremy and Joe. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, and being joined now by Rossi Karen from United Sports and Entertainment. Runs a bunch of college basketball events, and the one coming to Fort Bend on Sunday, the preview college basketball exhibition. And Rossi, let's start there. Let's start with the one coming up on Sunday. Big event, and you got four Power Four programs: Arizona State, Texas A&M, a lot of good basketball there. We're the home of the flagship of the Aggies as well. And then the second game, Mississippi State, Houston, the Cougars, last year's national runner-up, preseason number two. What this is a big-time event you got coming to Fort Bend on Sunday.
I'm super excited about it. The most exciting thing about it for me is, as a former player, is like knowing that the guys are going to be able to put on a uniform and play in front of a live audience and for the first time. So I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for the players.
How do you guys choose these teams?
Relationships, and some of it is, you know, kind of geographical. Anytime you want to put on a high level event, you definitely want to have some local representation. And, you know, what better way to do it than to have, you know, Texas A&M was right up the street. They have a new coach, new program that they're kind of building there. And then obviously the Houston Cougars, number one or number two in the country preseason, depending on who you ask. So I think that's a great foundation to build around.
What is the process like when you go to these teams? Like, hey, we want you playing here. And I know a lot of the events you do regular season as well. You'll be Auburn, Houston is an event that you're running as well in Birmingham. You did the one last year, the Toyota Center, that included Houston.
So Auburn, correct.
What is that like, that process, whenever you go to the coaches, hey, we want you to play this?
My relationship with most of the college coaches that are currently coaching goes back 20 years. So from my time in grassroots basketball. So, you know, a lot of my relationships are friendships. So at that point, we are always talking basketball. We're not always talking events. But we're just talking hoops. Like, hey, you know, what players you like or what teams are going to be really good? Hey, by the way, you know, I have something for you that I think you're going to be really excited about and that your fan base is going to be really excited about. So let's see if we can get this on the books for the following year.
So when you're there, are you watching the games, or are you event focused?
The crazy,
like you got some good teams here. Like, you're gonna be watching. You want to watch the Cougs play, watch the Aggies play. Like, so you're watching the games, or are you stressed out about what's happening around you?
If you ask anybody who's in the event space, like, you never really, really get a chance to sit and enjoy it. But what I typically try to do is to get everything off the ground, and by halftime of the first game, I feel like I can finally like exhale.
Yeah.
And then I try to sit courtside with my family and just really just enjoy. Because, you know, an event like this could take 12, 18 months to put together.
Yeah.
So you work for a year and a half or a year to get to this moment. And the worst thing to happen is you miss the whole thing because you're running around working. So I like to be able to enjoy it. I like to be able to sit with my family and just watch high-level basketball. So it's a combination of the two.
I remember last year, your beautiful daughters were part of the entertainment.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's right.
They performed.
Yep. They will do that again this year. So one of the beautiful things is, I guess with any business owner, if you have children, they get opportunities that other kids don't have. So I think that this is it's exciting for them. They look forward to it. So they'll run on the court and probably throw out some T-shirts or something. And then obviously when Houston plays Auburn and Birmingham and RX Benefits Battleground 2K25, you know, they'll be in front of 15,000. I'll see if they can get out there and do a song and dance or something.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
So you said it takes 12 to 18 months, or you're already playing the next one?
100%.
So do you get any time off, or it's just like, it's basically go.
I'm off right now. I'm sitting here laughing and having a good time with y'all.
That's right. Rossi Karen joining us in studio, United Sports and Entertainment, putting on the Preview College Basketball Exhibition. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets throughout the week, Tuesday, so you can get out there and watch Arizona State, Texas A&M at 4, Mississippi State and Houston at 6:30. How did you get started with all of this? What was the inspiration and I guess the drive to get this off the ground and killing the game right now?
My background is grassroots basketball. So at one point in a former life, I ran one of the largest grassroots programs in the region. And, you know, we had over 100 plus Division I athletes come through our program and go on to play college basketball. So at that time, we were doing high school tournaments. But, you know, over time, you build relationships with college coaches. And then I spent 15 years in that space. So at some point, it was time.
Yeah.
Just to turn the page and move on to another chapter. And this fit my personality, and it kind of fit my network of business relationships. So it turned out to be something that worked.
So you're doing, you said, 4 events this year?
Four events this year. Obviously, this preseason exhibition is the first of 4. Then we have, again, the Houston versus Auburn game, which is a massive game. And again, I shared with you that game sold out in 30 minutes. So that's one we're super excited about. And then December 7th, Hoop Hype XL, that's in Arlington, Texas, at College Park Center, that features Texas A&M versus SMU. And then on December 13th, the following weekend, we have a doubleheader, LSU women versus Louisiana Tech in game 1 at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. And then game 2 is LSU men versus SMU.
Just a bunch of great programs. A lot of really good programs. So what should the fans that are heading out to Fort Bend know ahead of the event, the preview? Obviously, the games there are going to be some good ones. And also, too, like you see all these scrimmages going on right now. These are the dress rehearsals for the season. The coaches are geared up for this. They're fired up for this because this is a lot of what you're going to. This is a regular season game against really good competition because they treat it as a dress rehearsal. But I was looking at the prices. I mean, you have tickets for anybody that wants to get out there, a wide range. If you have a family, very affordable for the family. What should the people know ahead of time as they get out there for this doubleheader coming up on Sunday?
I think they told me today that most of the sideline seats are pretty close to being sold out. So if you want to grab one of those, you need to do that now. And then the courtside seats sold out pretty early. But we're going to release another section of courtside seats tomorrow morning. So if you want to be really close to the action, I would get to etix.com tomorrow morning and grab you a courtside seat.
It doesn't look like there's a lot of these left, but I see on one end there's these tables.
Listen, that table, if I was not the event operator, that's what I would be.
So what is it?
So it's a VIP section. It's a platform where you're basically on stage with a tabletop for two, and you can kind of see over the baseline courtside seats right onto the action, and it comes with hospitality and VIP room access. It comes with a meal. So that section is that's where it's at for the high rollers.
Yeah, that looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's where you would be.
I remember walking by it last year at the Toyota Center. I was like, that's something you don't get in college basketball games. That's unique to the events that you're putting on.
Yep, so we try to make the events, you know, obviously it's college basketball, but to have some of the same elevated experiences as NBA games. So we have the Hollywood seats that are right between the scores table and the benches. Those always sell out right away. And then doing this VIP section on the end zone is something that we're doing. We're also doing hospitality and VIP suite area just on the other side of the end zone, just above section, I think, 108. So we want it to be something that fans can come out and enjoy with their families, But also, it should have a premium feel to it, because I believe that these four teams are premium level teams.
Absolutely. Etix.com, the best place to get that. I'm curious. I wanted to ask you this, Rossi, a little bit off topic, but not really. You played the game. You've been in the industry for a long time. You're running these special events that are going on now as well. What do you think of the state of the game? College basketball, where it's at now, NIL, rev share, all of that.
I it's funny because like I'm 45, so I played college basketball at Niagara University from 99 to 2003. And I remember, like, coach couldn't give you a ham sandwich, you know what I'm saying, outside of the budget. Yeah. It was illegal. And now I know guys that are making $1 million to play college basketball. And, it's unbelievable. But I think that is something that, listen, if there were no sports, you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here, and neither would I.
Yeah.
And so I think that we have to understand that the athletes make the industry go. And for so long, that's been neglected. And I believe that those guys should make revenue. Now, there needs to be some parameters, because it is hard for coaches to build programs when you have to redo your whole team like AAU basketball every year. But I think they need to tighten up some parameters. But, young guys that have a chance to make, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million to play college basketball, when that sport is producing hundreds of millions of dollars across the nation, it's only fair to talent got to get paid.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they're coming to watch them, right? And whenever you watch the NCAA tournament, you're watching the players. You're not watching the mascots. I mean, it's fun. It's fun, but you're watching the players. I mean, and you're always worth what somebody's willing to pay you. So
100%. And there's no stadiums and these $100 million arenas. There's no arena if there's no athletes. There's no athletic directors if there's no athletes.
So. Well, Rossi, I'm going to be out certainly at this one coming up on Sunday. I'll be in Birmingham as well. I always love going to the events that you put on. Going to be a great time. Anything else you want to close out with before we say our goodbyes?
Nothing else. It just, like I say, it's a great time to bring your family out and to enjoy high level hoops, especially for young athletes, middle school and high school athletes who aspire to play at the next level. This is a great chance to see it up close, to see what it really looks like.
And it's awesome that it's out there in Fort Bend, because, I mean, I know it's nearby, but it's a little bit of a trek to get to Houston. It's a little bit of a trek to get to College Station. Putting it out there in Fort Bend to see these four programs, not something that happens every day either.
And it's a fantastic arena. It's only about 2 years old. This is their first time hosting a college basketball sporting event. It's a beautiful arena. I think people are going to really like it. They're really going to like the environment. And there are no bad seats in the arena.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great, great place.
The community loves events in their area, too, so you know that they're going to show out. Fort Bend Epicenter coming up Sunday. Arizona State, Texas A&M, that's going to start off the doubleheader at 4 o'clock. Mississippi State, Houston at 6:30. Get those tickets. They're going fast at etix.com. Rossi, always enjoy catching up with you, and I'll see you out there Sunday. I'll see you in Birmingham.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And before I leave, I want to shout out Lindsay Seltzer, my marketing and media director. She's here. Thank you for coming.
She does all the hard work.
She does all the hard work.
Always do. Rossi Karen joining us, United Sports and Entertainment. Get out there. The preview college basketball exhibition coming up on Sunday. You're going to have a great time. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more basketball. Kevin Durant got paid $90 million for 2 years. Do we like the contract for Kevin Durant? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment, though, on Pro Dunk Hoops. Look, they make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. It gives you that true, authentic feel off the backboard, off the rim. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, more on that later. Stainless steel hardware, plus it's rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston. It's height-adjustable, anywhere from 5 to 10 feet. That's why that breakaway rim comes into play. You can throw down jams back like in your heyday. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play. You're at work. Kids are at school. We get it. You can only play at night. We'll get the LED light kits. That way you can do that. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots, lots more. You can order everything, including professional installation online at ProDunk.com. That's right. The pros from ProDunk professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You can't mess it up because they're going to do it for you. And right now, if you call Pro Dunk and mention hearing this ad, you're going to receive the Lightning Adjust Drill Powered Height Adjustment feature for free. It's a $249 value. You get it for free. It's installed for free, too. It helps you raise and lower the goals 10 times faster with zero efforts. Take advantage of that. 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, or visit them online at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. So Kevin Durant got paid $90 million, 2 years. There's a player option for a third year as well. Could have received $120 for 2 years. So a lot of people, hey, $30 million discount. I have seen the counterpoint, though, Joe. That paying $45 million for a guy who will be 40, I think it's that third year, not the best of situations to be in. But I think everybody from a Rocket perspective, a Houston perspective, it's like, well, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. He's Kevin Durant. He's one of the all-time great scorers in the history of the game for a team that absolutely needed scoring. He takes $90 million for two instead of $120 for two. Not that the Rockets would have ever done that. I don't know what other option you had. I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's where the NBA is at these days. You have to pay, you know, the close to premium level. And again, he took a huge discount for you because it is a huge discount. You look at where the top guys are paid in the NBA. Kevin Durant's going to fall somewhere between, like, the I think he might be the 30th highest paid player in the NBA this year at $45 million. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Durant. He's the 30th highest paid player in the NBA.
Do you see his all-time career earnings, though? Now, it does take into, I guess it does take into the calculus his future earnings for the contract that he's currently on. The highest paid basketball player in the history of the game, a little south of $600 million.
It's insane.
So if there's anybody that could take a $30 million discount, it's the highest paid basketball player in the history of the game. But he did just solid. Did just solid team-friendly contract for somebody who I still think is an elite scorer.
Yeah, and that's why it just kept, I mean, Rafael Stone again. Like, I don't know if he deserves all the credit for this one. This obviously feels like KD had to be willing to take a lesser contract. But look at these deals he's given out. He gave Jalen Green less than he could have gotten anywhere else. Same thing with Alperen Şengün. Same thing with Jabari Smith. Yeah. And now Kevin Durant. Like, every single contract he gives out, except for really to Fred VanVleet, which was really by necessity, and Dylan Brooks. Like, he's getting all these guys below their market value. And it's giving the Rockets roster flexibility, trade flexibility down the road. And again, I mean, Kevin Durant said it the other day, like, he wants to retire here, essentially. So if you want that, you also have to be willing to take less. And that's what he did.
If you would watch that starting five show, Joe, he said that ideally he signs a contract extension here, wins a few championship, and gets his jersey retired.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah,
I saw the James Harden clip.
Did I peer pressure you into it?
No, the Kevin Durant James Harden clip that's out there, where KD's like trying to, like, he wants James to talk about why things went wrong in Brooklyn, and James Harden's just like,
I haven't gotten there yet.
It was a clip that's just going around Twitter.
I saw the clip, but I haven't gotten around to it on the episode.
And like, so I saw that and how Harden just was being a total coward, wouldn't answer the question. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to phrase it. I'm like, but like, now I'm intrigued. Because like, maybe there's something more there. I just want to know what, like, fully what James Harden has to say about his career and why it went south.
They're pretty tight, though. You can tell that they're pretty tight.
Yeah, Durant, but you can tell Durant's annoyed with how it went in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's probably not happy that they broke up, you know.
He but now he's
like
here.
Them to stay together. They're really sour away the way it ended in OKC. Harden did not like that he got traded to Houston, by the way.
I mean, he thought they were going to win multiple championships, probably.
Yeah, they thought they were going to win that year.
Yeah.
And then he gets traded like the eve of opening night in the NBA. Yeah. And it's like, oh, y'all broke it up and we didn't even talk about it. That was pretty funny. Shams is reporting that the Rockets are not expected to sign Tari Eason to an extension. Today's the deadline to extend Tari Eason on that rookie contract, which I like Tari. I don't know what the contract like expectation was for him. But if he was seeking like Jabari Smith money, like, I'm good not re-signing Tari. He plays every other day. He's injury-prone. Not last year, but the year before, he missed almost the entire year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's where I want. I like the player. Whenever he's on the floor, I like the player a lot. Sometimes he makes some questionable decisions, but I like the player a lot. I'm not sure that I want to commit tons of money to Tari Eason with the amount of games he's missed early in his career.
So that was where my first thought went when I saw the Durant contract, was maybe that this is connected to a Tari Eason deal that's going to happen by today, and it seems like, again, like as Sean's report, it's not going to. But I'm because if you're going to pay him with everything you just laid out, like $15 to $20 million a year feels about right for Tari Eason. Like, you're not paying him a incredible amount of money because of the injuries and the amount that he plays. So I thought maybe they were directly connected. I would like Tari to still be under contract. Like, I would rather them get the deal done today than not personally, because I think it's just if he's an asset on your books and you want to make a splash,
yeah,
giving him a little bit of a higher salary makes him more tradable. It allows you to include him in trade packages more easily going forward if it's that. But at the same time, the hesitation to it doesn't surprise me, because if you're an Ime Udoka guy, you got to play. You got to play every day, basically.
Tari last year played 57 games. Like, that's a lot of games missed.
Mm-hmm.
He played 22 the year before. Now, his rookie year, he did play in every game. But 2 years ago, he played in 22. Last year, he played in 57. Like, I wonder what the impasse was. Like, I wonder what Stone was willing to pay, and I wonder where Tari, like, drew the line. Like, I wonder where that gap was.
And honestly, if I was Tari, I probably would take the money now, just because of what we've seen happen in free agency. I think next year it's better positioned, and the year after it's better positioned for these guys to make money. But it was ugly this offseason. There was some quality free agents, probably similar level to Tari Eason, and they just weren't getting paid because like teams just didn't have money to spend. Like this new era of the NBA, it's harder to find big contracts. And I think that's where what the players want versus what's reality, it's complicated. And that's also where you have to factor in, like, there has to be a line. Because they obviously know the CBA and everything more than we do.
Yeah.
Like what you can give Tari without it. Because even though I like, in my mind, I like the idea of paying him to be a trade chip, if you also pay him, you might now be unable to make any moves.
Right. There with the aprons and all that.
Yeah.
But I did read that next year there's supposed to be a lot of teams who are under the cap. This year there wasn't. It was like a funny year or whatever. So I wonder if... I think that came up a lot in the Quentin Grimes case. Like, mm-hmm. Quentin Grimes had an offer from Philly, didn't like the offer, was trying to get something in free agency, but no team was, like, under the cap and had money to spend. So he was even a restricted free agent. You know, 76ers didn't even have to match anything because there wasn't teams under the cap, and then he signed, like, a one-year deal to kind of, like, bet on himself. Now, one thing to consider with Tari is that even if he hits free agency next summer, he would still be a restricted free agent.
Hmm.
So the Rockets could match. So it doesn't mean that this deadline
is the end of Tari.
No.
No, you have plenty of flexibility with him.
Yeah, you could.
Sign and trade, whatever you want.
Or, yeah, I'm talking about keeping Tari, though. Like, yeah. Tari Eason could still be a Rocket for the foreseeable future, even though he didn't sign by today's deadline. They could match any offer that he got next season.
If there are teams that have cap space, though, doesn't it? I do feel like someone takes a risk on him.
They could poison pill it, too.
Yeah.
Kind of like with Omar Asik and Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. Like, I do think that he's the quality of player that if he hits the open market, and even that's not fully open because it's restricted, that someone's going
to
pay him.
Has to have a good year. He can't play 22 games.
Yeah, he's got to play at least 60, you would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Tari's the one guy in the rotation that if, like, I had to pick, who would you want to lose? It'd probably be him, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Over Jabari?
I'd rather have Jabari over Tari.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think that's really the conversation. You're either Team Tari or Team Jabari.
Yeah.
I think mostly from the fan base. And because of games played, Eileen Jabari.
Junkie on the text line, Katie just wants to ball with a good team, get another championship, and ride off into the sunset. I hope he does. Another junkie, were y'all a James Harden fan with his time in Houston? I hated that style of ball.
I was not.
I couldn't stand James Harden.
Yeah.
I recognize that he was good. Like, I'm not going to be foolish and be like, oh, he was a bum, he was overrated, all that. Like, I have seen some people say that he should be like considered one of the all-time great guards in NBA history. Like, I'm not going that far. I think they gamed a lot of things. Like, he scored a bunch of points in a Morey system where his usage was through the roof. He also had years where he led the league in turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
No, I couldn't stand Harden, actually.
No, I'm pretty anti-Harden.
I called him James Hardashian because he dated Khloe for a little bit.
The only time I've ever gotten in trouble in this business was from trashing.
All right, what'd you do?
I didn't think I did anything wrong.
This is trouble. You could end up like Moses Malone Jr.
That's true. I just blatantly said, like, I don't like watching him play basketball. I don't want to talk about him. I don't watch him play basketball. That didn't really work really well on the flagship.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Like, it didn't really, like.
Especially the Rockets. They were the probably the most sensitive of the three.
Yeah, and not anymore, really. But
they're not?
No, I don't think so.
That was more of a, who's the dude
that
who
was
went
a
to
Tad
Philly?
Brown Tad Brown.
Thing. Yeah. Tad Brown was super sensitive.
Yeah. You know what? One time,
Morey probably was too.
He texted the show I was working on because I was trashing. I didn't know this. His son-in-law,
oh,
Jared Stidham.
That's right.
I didn't know that. So he was very upset with me. I apologize for that one.
What'd you say about Stidham?
He just they sucked.
Yeah, you weren't wrong.
I wasn't wrong.
No.
That's funny that he would like text you guys though. Like that's beyond his realm. Like he should have no jurisdiction over that.
No,
at all.
I know.
Like one, it's soft to do it about your own team, but then to do it about your son-in-law.
Yeah,
that's pretty weak.
He was not thrilled. I was like, I didn't know. I stand by everything I said, but I'm sorry at the same time.
Nether Junkie, would you stay up for the game if you had to wake up at 4 for work? I may just man up and do it.
Tonight's game?
I think that's what he means.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, like, John and Lance are going to watch every second of tonight's game, and Dell.
You think they will? You don't think they will?
Some.
Where's John? Is John in town or is he in LA?
I think he's in LA.
Well, it's easier for him. Well, it's not easier.
No.
You still have the same gap between game finish and start a show.
But what he has
the luxury of is that it's not as late there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to commute.
Yeah.
So he can just go wherever he goes to do his show
in his house. Most of the game.
I think, no, Granato will watch.
It'll just depend on the result. They might get bail early if the Texans
If it's a tie
rolled.
Game. If it's a tie game, I think Granato watches the whole thing. I think Lance watches the whole thing.
I think so too.
Dell, I'm not so sure about.
I don't know if Lance watches the whole thing. He's been known, now maybe this is an Astros thing more than a football thing, but he's been known to leave basically every Astros game in like the sixth inning.
Really? That's soft.
He talks about it. Dell's definitely not staying up. Some people don't
Dell
like...
Dell will be up.
You think?
Dell will be up.
He's up late?
Yeah.
Dell will definitely be up.
I didn't know that about Dell.
I watched Dell play college football games at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah,
like, dude, same. What are you doing?
You watched him play?
Well, no, I see him
What
like
is
advance.
Wrong with you?
I like see him advance our league.
Another junkie. Steve Francis, T-Mac, Kevin Martin, Ryan Anderson, or James Harden. Who are you taking?
Of all those players? What? Or those players versus James Harden?
No, he's saying all those players.
T-Mac?
I would take T-Mac.
Yeah, T-Mac.
I loved T-Mac. I'm biased here, admittedly.
T-Mac's awesome. He doesn't say healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Harden would put up numbers, though. Like, I'm not going to deny that. Harden was a number merchant. I like T-Mac way more, though, so admittedly, I have a bias there. All right, 713-780-3776. I'm all in on Nick Caley if the Texans have a good performance tonight.
Go Texas.
713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.